Greetings and welcome, everyone, to All You Can Geek Podcast, episode number 276. It's the best of 2015, and it's an episode still, so it's like the best of everything, right?
The best of the Perfect. Best.
The best of the best. It's the best around.
It's the Eric Robbins of episodes.
Keep you down. The best. Sorry, I was breaking the song. All right. Welcome, listeners.
What just happened?
I was singing. Mm-hmm. Singing with my cold. All right. Where are we? I'm one of your hosts, Jim Gass, joined by Mike Sneedy.
I guess I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm taking a drink in between. Tony Korkanakis.
Yo.
And Corey Feinsod.
And I'm here too.
Yes. Of the year. Sorry, I have a bit of... I still have that cold, which I mentioned, I think, last week. It's still... Oh. It won't go anywhere. So, I'll be drinking some soda in between to hope I don't get too garbled. But we're doing the of the year because it's of the year and it's the best around. That's what I was singing, guys. That's what mm-hmm. I was singing.
Yep.
Sweet.
You're the best.
See? Great song, right? Quick side note for that. I went to a UFC fight and it was funny because I was rooting for this one fighter, like Lyoto Machida, because I was a big fan of him.
The karate guy.
So his opponent then comes out to You're the Best Around. And I was like, I can't. I am so sorry. I can't root for Machida anymore. I'm so sorry.
You completely turned on him.
Yeah, I did, just from the song.
Wow.
So,
was it a good choice?
Oh, yeah, he won. The guy that came out with it. He came out to the You're the Best Around. Of course he's going to win.
Well, he probably won because...
You're recording, right?
Yes. Yes, I am. Oof. Woof.
He really probably won because he was facing a guy who is a karate guy in UFC. Because let's be real.
That guy was champion. Just
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I hope my levels are good on this side then. We're taking my recording.
Don't we all hope?
I just turned it up, so let's hope you guys hear the before. All right. Where were we? Now we're completely off track. I'm sorry
about the best podcast around for sure. So
all right, here's the let's get the box office real quick. Let's talk some quick movie news, we'll talk some gaming news, then we'll talk our best of 2015 and worst as well.
Is it worst or is it disappointing?
There's two different categories.
There is? Because I just picked a worst.
Why did we do this? Why do we always do this? We make too many categories for us.
Well, we can come up with them. It's fine. Okay, box office, the best around is at number one. What's that?
Doing it live. I mean, that's how we roll.
Yeah, even though we're not really doing it live, we still don't. There's only one take. Come on.
Usually.
Yeah. Oh, usually, unless we have some catastrophic failure.
And then it's just spliced together. We do a whole George Lucas thing where every sentence and word is a different take.
You mean like they did the chef in the episode South Park when he left the show?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was exactly. Hilarious.
There's a gif of one scene where Anakin's face physically changes during the like one part because all the different takes were like all the different words were from a different take that
I remember hearing about Palpatine. That. Yeah.
It was like, and you can see his like face changed a lot just based off of the takes. It's pretty hilarious.
Oh, man.
Well, and just like that, we also have no real sets right now.
Have no what?
There's no set.
Set.
Yes. For nowhere. For our podcast.
What?
Never mind. What are you talking about? I missed.
Fuck you guys.
What did I miss?
Fuck you all.
Well, I get to derail podcasts. Mike gets to derail podcasts. Come on, Tony. It's your next.
Nope. Not today.
Okay. Number one at the box office. I'm just going to push through this. It's a Star Wars episode because – oh, man, I was going to – never mind. Not going to derail it. Never mind. There's going to be a bad quote there from It's Always Sunny. But Star Wars Episode 7, of course, at number one. But just barely.
Just barely.
Yeah, I was going to say, not necessarily what? Of course, but yeah.
Does it hold on? Does it hold on against Ride Along 2 or does Ride Along 2 beat it?
The fuck is Ride Along 2?
Kevin
Hart.
Well,
it's the sequel to Ride Along.
Oh, that
obviously.
Kevin Hart and Ice Cube. How can you miss it?
Did you see that Facebook video I shared with Kevin Hart and Ice Cube and Conan O'Brien going?
Yeah, where they're riding.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Riding along. That was hilarious. This movie, however, probably won't be because it's at like 6% on 6% fresh. So I don't know if it's going to beat Star Wars. I think Star Wars can bring in – I think it can bring
about
in 30.
13 hours, Jim.
What is that
what?
One? Oh, yeah, that's the gym from The Office.
That opened in the Cowboy Stadium that nobody could hear it because they didn't do a sound check before.
Yeah, that was the gym from The Office.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right, the Benghazi thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's opening. But, hey, we didn't finish the top five. Star Wars, Revenant, Daddy's Home, Forrest, and Sisters.
There's and how much did Star Wars do this week?
$42.4 million, bringing it up to a domestic total of $815 million.
It's ridiculous.
So oh not God. Only shattering – it's shattering the record. I was going to say not only beating the record but shattering, but I started with shattering. So
domestic.
But, yes, but apparently it opened in China, did well, but it's not on Avatar's pace
opened,
there.
No, it only opened – it actually opened week. It opened 20th in China.
No so, Chinese actors.
Yeah, that's –
Told you guys.
It's going to affect it. You know, I realized I don't think I've done a podcast with my glasses on for a while. Like these Whoa. new headphones that I have don't sit well with my glasses. Like I'm constantly fidgeting with them right now while I'm talking to you guys. So if my volumes are changing, I'm sorry. I'm trying to find that comfortable spot, but it won't be an issue soon because I'm getting LASIK. So
nice.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Things are happening.
It's happening. I haven't even gone to visit them yet, but I'm going to schedule it as soon as I go. I'm going Friday, and it's getting scheduled.
Is it? Are you going somewhere you know, or is it just...
Nope. Going to some guy in Somerset. Just going down there and going to schedule it. So anyways, that's completely sidetracked stuff. Sorry, everybody. We'll get to the podcast at some point. I promise.
Nah, we're not. It's all right.
Okay, let's go into some news real quick for some shows, because Corey and I have this... Oh, first of all, just to get this off the table, I lost the bet again. I'm still on a losing streak. Mike has now beaten me with the – I'm close because Wolverine's coming back like next month.
We don't even know that for sure.
He will, and then I'm going to be close. But I still – I'm wrong. I thought he died in April, but apparently he died in December or something like that of 2014.
Yeah, late 2014 it said. So
yeah.
It's been over a year.
Yeah, I did not
know this.
A little
bit over. So I'll have to think of something for you, but
yeah, that's a loss. And but Corey and I have a bet that I thought was going to be like 3 years long. However, I think I'm going to win that bet this year.
Which one?
The Flash and Supergirl crossover.
Really?
I was kind of on Corey's side here, but
kind of. Oh, I want the text messages back. Nobody was on my side.
No, I know I was on Corey's side, but I
didn't care to. Take a seat.
Because I don't really watch the show, so I don't know how into its own world it is or not.
So now, at the television, during the TCA, the Television Critics Association press tour, Geller, who is the president for CBS, responds to the direct question of, is there going to be a crossover between Flash and Supergirl? His direct quote is this: I have to be really careful what I say here. Watch and wait and see what happens.
Which sounds like yes.
Yes.
Sounds like they want to, and that it's something that they're trying to work out, so that's why he doesn't want to talk about it.
It's happening, like I said. It's going to happen, and then from way downtown, Jim breaks the slump. From way downtown. That was like a half-court shot, man. I just launched it.
Yeah. That was one that I was like, oh, this is a slam dunk. Gave you like an extra – like I was like, 3 years, it's fine.
How is Supergirl doing ratings-wise?
It's for CBS, it's not doing great, but for every other network, it is.
Okay.
So CBS usually holds a higher standard.
NBC would love to have those ratings.
Yeah. I think they're doing like they're between 18 and 49. They're doing a 1.5, which is what NBC gets for their entire shows if they're really good. So it's not great. It's opened up very strong, and then it's kind of it's leveled. It's not going to drop anymore. It looks like, as it's leveled off, and actually it went up a bit over the last few episodes because it's gotten better.
I heard they have Martian Manhunter in there now, which is interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be great if they do this crossover, and it works. You know what's funny is when they were talking about this possibility, it works with The Flash. It doesn't quite work with Arrow because it's got a different theme, but it could be a Flash crossover. It really could be. So it doesn't have to dip into the Arrow universe.
Again, the problem with it is Superman is in that universe as well, and it's just – I don't know. They wanted to keep those guys, those A-listers, out of the universe that, you know, Flash and Arrow are in.
Well, they're making a Flash movie, and so he's an A-lister now, and he's still got a show.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe they're getting a little bit less like a little bit, you know, strict about their no fly rule. You know what I mean, Mike?
I suppose.
You have to appreciate that Smallville reference, the no fly rule.
Yeah. Yes, I know.
God,
10 years of my life just of mediocre television.
I almost went back and started rewatching that recently.
I mean, it was I followed it, but it was really bad.
There were some good seasons in the beginning, and then I felt that 8, I think, roughly was. I think I remember one of the seasons was very good. 9, I think, one of them got me back into it strongly.
The later seasons and the beginning seasons were the best. The middle was a disaster.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So that crossover, anyways, might be happening. So yeah.
Good
we
on
also
that.
Have.
Yeah.
Of course, now I'm like, oh, I didn't get a chance to put the news together. So I was like, oh, don't worry about it. I got plenty of stuff TV to talk about. We'll just throw it on there as we go. And now I can't remember what I had. Heroes Reborn, it will be done after this season. It will not be getting a season 2. I think Tim Krieg also said that he planned on only one season anyways. So ratings are not – the series is over at this point. There will never be another Heroes.
So, well, I mean, it died twice.
Yeah.
It died
well, I think he planned on the death on this one. So he was like, you know, he wrote only that much.
I like so that they've put out so far. I mean,
I've read
it's good. And it could be, like, just, again, one season's worth of stuff. And then what else can you do?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Now, I also read a rumor. So this is not a spoiler. It's just a rumor. I'm not confirming this. I'm not making a bet over this. However, Batman versus Superman, they're supposed to be Bizarro as the secret villain.
Bizarro as the secret villain, in addition to Doomsday and Lex Luthor.
Correct.
Didn't like Greg Miller talk about that? Like,
Christ,
when that trailer came out. He was like, gushing about it.
Yep.
That was his whole theory.
So apparently, Lex Luthor is experimenting and with kryptonite, and we have it backwards with Doomsday. I'm thinking. From what I'm reading, he's experimenting with kryptonite and Zod's body, and then Bizarro becomes the... That's what I'm reading from this rumor.
That is exactly what Greg Miller said.
Really? This is straight up from Latino Review, guys, so we know how trustworthy they are. It's like throwing a dart.
Did they start the whole Christian Bale secretly is real Batman and too?
No, that was them too? That's some random guy's theory.
Because they really wanted Christian Bale to be in this movie.
Yeah, maybe they did.
Ben Affleck's obviously Slade Wilson, right? I mean, isn't that a rumor also?
Yeah, that's the one I was referencing.
Yeah. Deadpool is getting an official R rating.
Deadpool is probably going to do pretty well.
It's got some weird marketing. Have you seen some of the posters?
It's a media bliss, though. Yeah, they had their
Valentine's Day. Like,
they had their romantic comedy poster because it's Ryan Reynolds and stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So already that's good though. I mean, that's what I wanted to see at least. I don't want to hold. Like, I don't want them to be held back and like cut stuff because that's not the character.
Well, I mean, when they had the Red Band trailer, you knew that it was going to be an R-rated movie, but now it's official.
Well, I mean, they always cut stuff too, though. I mean, you can cut things to make it PG-13 if you really wanted to. Die Another Day. What was that? Not Die Another Day.
No, no. Live Free or Die Hard, I think.
That's the one.
Then the final bit of news I had was for Marvel, which is it kind of based closely on another bet that we have going about a TV series, TV series crossover. So I was reading an article also about how the first Infinity War movie is supposed to be, the rumor is it's focusing on the lesser Avengers, the B team.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be like more prominent role because the idea is to get them their own movies for Phase 4.
Mm-hmm.
So that's I was reading that, but
they also said they're going to have more heroes. Like it's in the I don't know 50s or 40s. Some
I thought
absurd
they were saying
number.
Like 65. 60,
yeah, something yeah, like 60, some absurd thing.
The, Marvel characters.
The storyboard number is at 67 right now.
Yeah.
So that which is insane. But
what does that mean, Jim? What does that mean?
Apparently,
what does that mean?
Yeah. Well, because
what could it mean?
Apparently, that 67 number is referring to both TV series and movies, and that was stated. So I'm in a little bit of trouble there.
So a few weeks ago, like I think I'm doing well, and a couple weeks later, it's like, oh shit.
Yeah, it's a roller coaster of emotions right now. It's just, ah, that's just like, whew. I'm like, oh yes, I'm winning with the Flash. I'm gonna win that one, and then now this one's going away. I'm like, I had two solid bets. I thought, well, the Flash one was, it was a gut instinct of mine. Well, and it's not even true yet, but I really think that's happening. So, did you guys check out? And listeners, I know you can't see this, but Tony, you sent a text about this. The new Lego Classic Batman Batcave.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see this thing? It's like 22 feet long or high or something like that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's an entire set piece of classic Batman. I think it's going for like $300, and I'm seriously considered buying
it.
It's like 2,000 pieces or 2,200 pieces. I'm really thinking about picking this up.
Nice.
Like, I'm really thinking about it. It's got the Batmobile in it, the Batcopter, Wayne Manor, the Batcave. It's got the poles to slide down to the Batcave from the room. All the classic Lego versions of the villains and Batman and Robin, $269 is going for.
Each of those minifigures is exclusive to this set.
Yeah.
So unless they come out with a complete line later on, those minifigures alone will probably go for an absurd amount. I mean, I don't know if people know this, but Lego stuff, some of it has appreciated better than gold has.
It's
absurd.
It's why I'm keeping my boxes for this stuff. I have my AT-AT and my Snowspeeder, and I've kept the boxes. Mm-hmm. And same thing with the Millennium Falcon. When I build that, I'm keeping the box. Because you're right. I mean, the Death Star came out. I don't have that one, but the Death Star came out, and that was expensive then. I think it was $300.
Yep.
But you can't find that for under $1,000 right now.
Nope.
So it is ridiculous what some of these Legos do. I mean, they become a good collector's piece. It's fun to build them. And then you can display them. They're a perfect thing to display once you build them. It's pretty. I really think I'm getting this. I am 80% certain I'm gonna just spend the money on this thing, because I was looking at figures, and rather than do the really expensive collectible figure, I might just get this instead, because at least then I can build this and spend the time on it.
Yeah, it has some fun factor.
Yeah, 2,500 pieces. 2,526 is the.
That'll buy you some entertainment hours.
Yeah, I mean that's a couple days really. I mean
it's a nice weekend project too.
Yeah, I built the Imperial Walker on the snow day. It took me an entire day.
It's a good day. Yeah, it's a good
yep.
Use of your time.
Yeah.
It's just relaxing, you know.
It's perfect for a snow day. It really is. So.
Oh.
That's really all I have for the movie news. So,
since we're trying to talk about that real quick. Did you guys see they have the Ghostbusters headquarters? The firehouse?
Oh, I did see that.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's really cool too.
Was that new?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I took that that was out already. They were just referring it back to.
It might be out.
I think it was out a little bit before, but it's newer for sure.
Yeah, it's newish, just the past couple months.
Okay.
But what I was gonna say is they got the director for Black Panther, the guy that directed Creed.
Yep. And that's winning awards supposedly, or people are.
It's gonna come up later.
Yeah.
Creed.
Yeah. Uh-oh, spoiler alert.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Okie dokie. All right, let's get into what I've been up to. So I can go. Let's see, what did I do last week? Watching a lot of Clone Wars still.
Nice.
I'm trying to – there's so much of that show. Season 3 was just – I blew through that. Season 4 starts out you're angry with it, because I'm it had a droid episode. I think it had Jar Jar in the beginning of it. I'm just
There's some news. The actor won't reprise the role if he's axed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jar Jar. A big loss.
Yeah.
Big loss.
Oh man, seriously.
So I played. Let's see. So I've watched a lot of Clone Wars. I've also played Tales from the Borderlands. I finished that up. I played the last episode.
Awesome.
What gave me the idea that I've forgotten about that game was when I saw you playing that, Corey.
Okay.
You were playing over the weekend, right?
Yeah. I just was let me see where I was at, and I wanted to play the other side of things.
Oh, yeah.
Just to see different outcomes. Yeah.
Well, it's all an illusion. It still funnels you in. I'll talk about that.
I haven't talked about it before, but I do have an issue with one part of it.
I have an issue with, I don't know if I could talk about it, just spoiler-wise. but
yeah, I'm gonna play it, so don't spoil it, please.
Okay. No, there's a choices that I was making that I
hear they're meaningful this time around.
They are, but it's like it gets to a point where you can't.
It's the same thing that they have all these options and stuff, and it plays out really well within the episodes. But then at a certain point, you have to make a choice that to make a choice. You have to do something that you can't not choose the one option.
It's just for the record,
four buttons that do the same thing.
I am a huge fan of Handsome Jack, so I love the guy. If he wants to do stuff, I'm like, you do that, man. Like the whole high fives.
Offline, Jim, because I was wondering what like choices you'd make there.
Yeah, but eventually it doesn't matter. That's all I'm saying. I'm not getting anywhere deeper in
that. All Telltale games. That's all these games do is like eventually there's a story that they want to tell, so you have to eventually fit into that mold. And that's the problem I have with all Telltale games.
That's why I'm wondering what they're going to do with the season 3 of The Walking Dead. Because the way season 2 ended, it seems to me like there's no way you could have...
Thinking I'm breaking it, Michonne.
I know, because they don't know what to do. Cause
don't spoil 2 either, please. I haven't played it yet. I'm behind it, Telltale.
Well, the way
I am
it,
so behind.
The way it ends, it seems like there's like at least 3 distinct, totally different places where the next season can start, judging by what you choose to do in the end of that game, if you remember. So
yeah, I haven't actually played any of season 2.
I don't know what they're going to do with that.
You had one character you really liked apparently in season 2. That's all I remember. Like when you talked about season 2, I love this character.
Yeah.
So we'll see what they do with that, if they can actually make branching paths of a story and write like 3 different stories.
Oh yeah, it's coming back to me. Yeah, I don't know. You're right. That's going to be very complicated. They're still going to have to funnel you back. It's going to happen.
Probably.
So anyways, that's what I played. Oh, I played Halo 5.
Oh.
Trying to make some last ditch efforts to
game of the year, right?
No. Actually, I haven't. Okay, so when you play a game and you play it for about 2 hours and it doesn't save your progress, that kind of destroys your momentum going into it. It really does. Like, I sat down, I'm like, okay, I'm going to play through this. And the first mission you play is Locke, the Spartan, and it just doesn't feel right. Like, it just doesn't feel like Halo.
The first mission isn't even Master Chief?
Like 80% of the game is not Master Chief, I think.
Yeah, but you think like that at least do a Metal Gear Solid 2 where like they let you play the first level as the original character. Right, a switcheroo.
Yeah. So you play as Locke and you're like, okay, I'm getting used to the way... It's funny because you really have to get used to 60 frames because you're so used to that style, the planetary... It's something about it. You just have to get used to that speed for that game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's an adjustment. So I played the first area and then I finally got to control Master Chief and then it felt like a Halo game. And I'm like, okay. Because the first mission, I was like, it's not so good. Second mission, I'm like, okay, this actually feels like Halo. I'm enjoying this mission. Mm-hmm. I finished the mission, and I watched the cutscenes. There's tons of cutscenes. Like, the missions aren't that long. I said I played for 2 hours, and it was probably like half an hour of cutscenes. It was like ridiculous.
Is that the Nathan Fillion show?
Yeah, essentially, he's everywhere. And then I decided that the entire time the checkpoint said failed to save. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'm not dying because I'm not going to get these checkpoints. So I knew my game wasn't saving, and I was having internet problems at this point in time. So, but I was getting the achievements. So I'm thinking, okay, it's got to be saving my progress. It didn't save my progress. I had to start over when I found out that when I went back to the main menu and my missions were not there.
But it said it wasn't saving.
Not to mention another gripe I have. For some reason, it feels like they're hiding the campaign. Like, it took me a second to find it on the menu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a weird. They definitely are marketing this way more as a multiplayer centric game. Like, there's hardly any news.
Do you remember what was so appealing about Halo, the game, the first one? It had such a rich single player game. It was really great, and then it had such a great multiplayer game. Like, it was,
and you could do both.
Why
the fuck
do we need to have? Why can we only get one and not the other nowadays? What the fuck happened?
343 took the reins.
Well, in general, I think, right, Jim?
I'm just talking in general with games.
Oh.
Halo is my perfect example of this, and you might be right. Maybe it's studio. But it's happened all over the place.
The funny thing is, I didn't like the multiplayer when I played it.
Oh, Bungie, I think, is doing a pretty good job right now. So
it took them a, kind of a second try with it.
Yeah, it took them an entire year of fixing their game to get the game to be great. I wish I could vote for that for Game of the Year, because it would be.
You could.
You can.
I don't know why you didn't. You could have.
I don't see it as a Game of the Year. It didn't come out this year.
Taken King did.
I'm going to make an argument for it later on.
Okay.
Because I was thinking about it for a while. So, because I originally said I won't do it, but I might have I'm gonna backpedal a little bit.
But it's DLC. It shouldn't count.
It's DLC. He's right. It's a patch to a game that came out. It's a patch.
It's not a patch. It's an expansion.
It's an expansion.
Yeah, I think it's a little more than DLC.
But no. I can't root. Like, I didn't vote
even
for
though technically
any
thing,
I mean. My argument that is going to come up later is that the game is a completely different game now. And then, so we'll see.
All right.
But you guys got to stay tuned for later.
Yeah.
We'll argue about this.
We all have different criteria for our game of the year. All
right, Mike, what have you been up to?
Well, I don't think I've watched anything. no, I don't think so. Aside from, I don't know. My brother watching New Girl, and I'll watch that. But whatever. And what I've been playing a lot more Battlefront. I'm still, you know, the game, there's not a lot to it, but it's taking a lot of my attention now. Just because, you know, Star Wars mode and...
What else is there?
Yeah, what else is there? I mean, I've done some post-game stuff in Fallout again. I'm like level 54. And I did look up or heard about online that there is a way to keep the above ground factions all alive, but at this point I did so much progression after that point where you need to do something in a certain order. I'm not going to go back. It's going to feel, I don't want to be like a level 20 guy again now that I'm a level 54 guy. Mm-hmm. So the Brotherhood's going to have to stay dead, unfortunately. But I played a little bit of that. Going to visit some vaults and places I haven't visited yet. So there's still a bit left of that. But most of my time is Battlefront. I finally got my kill death over one there, so I'm happy about that.
Nice.
That's pretty much my goal with these online games, just to get better than one. That's it.
Just die as many times as I kill people.
Yep, that's all I'm looking for. I'm not looking to be one of those like, oh, my KD is like 3.8. I'm like, no. 1.03 is fine with me.
I'm looking to get above 0.5 in anything. That's where I'm at.
Yeah. I'm still big into the heroes and villains mode, but I the game really needs like DLC fast. I wish they would announce something concrete soon, because there just needs to be a lot more to it. But still holding my attention.
Well,
so I guess that's good.
You're not getting Force Awakens stuff.
Nope. Aside from, you know, knowing about the Battle of Jakku, that's it. Mm-hmm. Aside from that, that's really about it. Just a little bit of Fallout and Battlefront.
All right, Tony.
Let's see, not too much. I don't think I've watched anything new. I did a rewatch of Ant-Man the other day while I was cleaning my apartment a little bit. That movie's still fun. Just feel good, you know.
Yep.
Origin heist movie. That was really awesome. Really enjoyed that. I think you guys forgot to mention we played Rocket League together.
Oh, yeah. Right. I forgot. We did play Rocket League. That was fun, but you guys are very new to that game.
I'm very bad at that game.
I'm saying new because you are new to it, but I didn't realize you guys were that new.
Yeah, I only played it like the first like 2 weeks it came out, and then I was like, all right, I'm moving on to other things.
Yeah, I mean, I got into some other like watching shows and then games and – you know what's funny is like when the shows went on break, I seem to watch more shows because I'm trying to catch up on other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely happens. Plus, then you can kind of binge watch stuff that you've missed.
Yeah,
so right. It's like
not feel guilty about it.
I mean, I am still watching late season one of The Turtles with my brother every now and then, nice. Which is okay. It's not great. It's okay. It is in the spirit of the old cartoon. I will say that. So that's pretty good. Slightly more serious, though.
Hmm. So where were we on this? What were we talking about? Oh, Rocket League.
Yeah, Rocket League. We did play that, which was fun. Yeah, we had some pretty epic moments in our time there, too.
Yeah, no, we had some really, really epic moments. I think that one, we came back at the, like, I don't know, the last
literally the last second.
Yeah, the last second.
Last second goal. Yeah, too bad we didn't get that one douchebag.
Yeah.
You got to get him.
Yeah.
That's some of the most fun I had in Rocket League, was just having some one guy that's like own us and just be our mission to destroy him every time.
Exactly. It's like, I don't care if we lose, but I'm just going to kill you. I'm just going to keep running into you and trolling you. So that was fun. It was nice to play with like actual people. I don't know. I think we might have talked about this before, but like there is some disconnect I feel with this generation in how nobody talks online. Like, I don't think I've talked to another human being besides you guys on any PlayStation game.
It's different on the PlayStation network than it is on the Xbox network.
It's the same on the Xbox now, though, dude.
That's what I hear, but then like I was like, no, I talk to people all the time. I'm like, really?
That's
like,
why I've always experienced.
I always hear that people don't want to talk on Xbox because it's all just like teenagers trolling you.
It's been bad though. Like people don't talk on either system for me.
Well, I don't particularly want to talk to people unless it's someone I know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't either. But like, I don't know. I remember like back in the day, like I don't know, shit talking people in Halo 3 was like pretty glorious, you know. Just the back and forth. But what I liked about
Xbox 360 made it so easy, though, and everything worked.
Right, like, but what nothing Halo, works here.
Well, these Halo, party systems really screwed it up.
What Halo 3 did, though, was that you couldn't just directly talk to somebody on the opposite team unless you were in proximity. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yeah,
but no, absolutely.
That's why, like, when you killed somebody, like, you assassinated them. Right, you could be like, yeah, it's take just that. Like, asshole. Yeah, stuff like that. It's like, and then that would make you mad because you're like, you're dead, and they're shit-talking you. And it's like, fuck you. So, you know, maybe that's just a unique feature of Halo 3.
I mean, you still can get teabagged by Darth Vader in Battlefront.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just like, yeah.
It doesn't have the same feeling, you know?
I know.
It seems like they have gone backwards a lot on some of this stuff because that I don't see in anything else. Like, you don't have proximity chat anywhere, really, at all.
Right.
Which, and even in Destiny, which you'd think Bungie, you know, Bungie's come backwards in a lot of things with what they've done.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So that was that, and let's see, what else did I do? I saw a tweet from the, like, Southwest Airlines, and they're like, play our Super Mario Maker level. I'm like, what the fuck? I was like, are you serious? And, like, I go, you know, I boot up my Wii U, and I haven't played Mario Maker probably since that came out, because I think Metal Gear Solid came out at the same time, so I was playing that. And then that just ran into Fallout 4. So I downloaded that level, and I played, and I was like, wow, okay, that was pretty fun. You unlock an exclusive, like, skin. I don't know if you guys remember, but in Mario Maker, if you use Mario 1 levels, you can equip like 8-bit costumes to a super mushroom. So like, if you want to do like thematic level, like a Metroid level, which what some people do, if you grab the mushroom, you turn into Samus instead of like Big Mario.
Mm-hmm.
And you can play through the level. It doesn't change the physics or anything. It just, you're, instead of looking like Mario, you look like Samus or Link or, you know, whoever like that. So you got like exclusive Mario and like a airplane, I think, from like Game Boy Super Mario made or something like that, which is to tie into with, you know, the Southwest marketing thing. I was like, whatever, that was pretty cool. But then because I already had getting booted up, I just started going through all these what they called featured levels. And so on that, they had the Facebook level. I don't know if you guys remember, they made kind of Facebook made a big deal about that a couple months ago, how they made a level. And PAX Prime, the Omegathon, which for those of you who don't know is like their big tournament that runs all weekend long. You have to be, like, randomly selected to participate in this, you know, basically random tournament of random games. And it could be anything, really, like, literally anything. And it's those are always usually fun to spectate, at least the finals or semifinals and stuff like that. But for PAX Prime recently, the final level of Megathon was this course in Super Mario Maker. And I played it. I was like, oh, you know, I'd like to try that. And that level was tough. Like, I think it took me, like, a solid 30 minutes to do it because it was like really brutal, and it's one of those levels where like it was before they patched it in that you could do like a checkpoint in the middle of the level. So like if you died, you had to start all over. And I'm like, oh my god, I'm getting so tilted on this. Like, why? Why is this happening? Like the third or fourth run, I actually made it to the boss, and then I died, and then I couldn't make it back there for like another 15 or 20 minutes. I got really pissed off. I was like, come on, like I'm just making mistakes now. But then I just started playing all these other levels, and I'm like, man, this is really fun. So Mario Maker, like, just, I don't know, had this resurgence on me the past week, which we'll get into later, maybe. But that's pretty much it. The last thing I want to mention is I just picked up the Shovel Knight Amiibo, which unlocks two-player functionality on the Wii U version of the system. So,
oh, nice.
Of the game, rather. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to playing that out because I love Shovel Knight, and I think two-player is kind of a cool concept.
All right, you know, I started playing Shovel Knight. I forgot to mention that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've cool. done like 3 areas right now, not many. But what happened was, like I said, I got frustrated with Halo, so I had to play something else, and I didn't want to get into Battlefront, even though I really want to play that game, and I keep not playing it. But I saw that Shovel Knight was $10, and I was like, fuck it. Tony always raves about this game. I'm buying it. So I picked it up for $10 on Xbox One, and so I'll get to see the Battletoads.
Ooh.
But, yeah, so anyways, is that everything? Good?
Yeah.
Okay. Corey.
Yeah, let's see. So I watched Creed, actually.
Oh.
And it's it's a lot better than I expected it to be, and they did a good job, like having Rocky become, you know,
mentor.
Yeah, old and like take on the Mickey role basically, and they do reference Rocky Balboa. I mean, that's all. Like that movie, what was that, 5, I think?
Mm-hmm. Wasn't the last Rocky about his son or something like that?
Yeah, it's called Rocky Balboa.
Oh, okay, that's right.
It's not necessarily about his son. It's about his struggles with his son. But this one is called Creed because it follows Creed, Apollo Creed's son this time. And it's funny because it's very much a reimagining of the original Rocky movie with with this guy Michael B. Jordan playing Creed's son. Like, he's basically Rocky in this. So it's pretty funny how they just modernized it and turned Rocky into the
just
old mentor
like the
guy.
Force Awakens.
No, it's very similar. It reminded me of that, like, basically just use this template because it worked really well and kind of brings back, you know, this nostalgia feel. But they did a good job with it, and they definitely and the guy who's directing it, like I mentioned earlier, he's going to be directing Black Panther. I think that's a good choice. So it's funny. He came out with a quote saying how, you know, people don't understand black art, and there is no, like, white art because white art isn't a thing because it's just a standard. Nobody thinks of it as anything else. It was weird. But, yeah.
Okay.
I was just reading about the guy because I heard – oh, shit. Sorry, Knox. I was just reading about this guy because I
calm down, Corey.
Heard he was doing the Black Panther, and I was like, "Oh, this is the guy that just directed the Creed movie that I watched." So, it was interesting. Interesting guy.
I think the guy who directs Black Panther should have a little bit of a prideful edge like that. So that's good.
Mm. Yeah. So, but yeah, I think that it's a good starting point because they're definitely going to do sequels with this movie. They're gonna, you know, take on the Creed. He's going to probably...
Is it going to be as milked as Assassin's Creed?
It's funny because, like, I kept thinking about that. Like, you know, I was like, oh, man, I wonder if he's going to start a band or something or become an assassin.
Boxer's Creed.
So anyway, so I watched that. I did play some of the Borderlands, Tales of the Borderlands, just to try to see what other stuff was out there, choices and stuff like that, which... you know, because I love that universe and I love that world. So it's still really good. And like I mentioned, it's just there's this one part that kind of annoyed me. But we'll talk about that later. Yeah. So once you finish it, Tony, we'll do it on air. As far as gaming, I played like mostly just Destiny. Just doing Destiny really on the Xbox. I'm trying to think like what's gonna come out that's gonna stop me from playing Destiny.
And
so
even that's been your game for a pretty long time now.
Yeah, no, I mean that's the thing. Is it's because it was one of those things. It's basically an MMO. So it's like every day you have your daily things to do, and then you have your weekly things to do. So it's like, oh, it's always something to try to complete. And then the thing with that is like there's also people on there that I can meet up with that I play with on a regular basis. So it makes it much more enjoyable because you're always playing with the same people. If I was just doing it on my own the whole time, I probably would have, you know, lost interest. So.
Do you talk to those people?
Yeah, well, I know them, so.
Okay.
Yeah, but we're going to talk about it later, so, you know, most anticipated. I think I have a game that's coming out.
All right. I'm actually writing our sheet right now, so sorry if I'm in and out of the conversation because it's been a busy day and stuff, so I haven't been able to get this together. But just trying to mimic what we had last year. So we'll be doing in the best.
I'm sorry. I did want to mention. I did start watching Berserk OVAs.
Oh, nice.
Because
Because
Happel, of course, was talking about it. I was like, oh man, I never saw the OVAs. Like, I saw the series, but I haven't seen the OVAs, so I want to watch them. He's like, he said they were way better. So it's really good, the first one so far.
Okay. Okay, let's see here. Gaming news real quick. Let's go quick couple things. Oculus Rift got pricing and pre-orders coming out. $600 for Oculus Rift. I think it missed the boat. What do you guys think?
I think that it missed it by a lot.
Yeah. Well, the original statement was that you could put it together with a PC for $1,500 total, right? Is that that was the statement, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. So $600 is, can you play it on with just that $600 out of the box?
No. You have a PC.
Right.
And a cable PC.
And a good PC. Like, the $900 are, like, you have you're to not make gonna be that. Able to, yeah. You have to build yourself one. It'll run it, but it's not something you want to build. If you're building it, you're going to build it.
I don't know how this can succeed if you're spending $600 for something you can't use unless you spend another $1,000.
I don't see this taking off. I think it would be an ultra niche product, and
it's going to go the way of the Google Glass. Like, people are like really excited for something like this, and then, well, cool, this person, I know somebody who has it, but like, you're not the person that has it.
Yeah. It's going to be the virtual boy.
I actually went and I was like, okay, this would be kind of cool. And then I started really reading about it because I was like, okay, maybe I'll build myself. That's when I texted you, Tony, about building a PC. I'm like, you can't really build anything for like under $1,000. Like, your graphics cards are to build something that runs 1080p 60 frames. You need to spend you have to spend like $1,200 is what I looked at.
I mean, that $1,200. Well, so $1,200 is going to get you a rig that will last you for a number of years.
Okay, maybe that's what I'm thinking. Like, when I build something, I don't want to build that's going to last me. Why would I want to spend $1,000 or $800 to $1,000 for like 2 years?
Right. Exactly. I mean, you could. It really varies. Like, if you're patient and you buy it piece by piece over a course of, like, I don't know, a couple months while waiting for deals, which unfortunately a lot happened over the, Black Friday holiday season. You could probably get one that could do the Oculus Rift stuff for like $800, but that's, again, if you were smart shopping, stuff like that.
And that's, again, like, you're still spending $1,400 to play virtual reality games that are probably going to suck ass.
Right. But, yeah, it's just, it's a very enthusiast thing to do, and I don't know. I just don't see much of a market. Like, I mean, all right, so I'm thinking of other things, like huge techie things where, like, you get one and you want to invite your friends over and show it off and stuff like that. Like, what are you going to do? Invite somebody over and be like, hey, watch me play this VR game. It's like,
how? How are you going to watch them?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, I wonder what exactly shows on – does anything show on the television screen or not?
I don't – I have no idea.
If it does, it would be like that double picture thing. Because I think they're saying that they're going to be able to show it as in like a one image, but everything I've seen where you see what people see, it's always the two images side by side.
I've seen some Let's Players where you just see the one image, but I don't know how they do that. But it's very strange. I don't see the appeal of it anyway.
It's not going to have it's a ways off still. I mean, the technology isn't not there yet.
Yeah, it's.
Do you think it'll ever be cheap enough to be like reasonable?
I think in 10 years.
See what like PlayStation VR is going to do, because that at least people have PlayStations already.
It's still going to be $500.
I understand that. I'm just saying, like, it's $500 compared to $1,500, Jim.
I almost feel like there should be like VR arcades instead. Like, I don't see how you can make this feasible in your house.
Mm-hmm.
And but, actually, I mean, like, optimize it to, like, work really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you go, start Cafe VR.
Yeah, that'll run me back a little bit.
All right.
You gotta spend $1,500 for the freaking equipment.
Excuse me.
For one.
Oh, great. Now I'm coughing.
But at least they did a good thing by Kickstarter backers. Everybody's getting one for free.
Yes. Well, not free.
At the whatever price they kickstarted.
Discounted from their.
What, you know, all, I mean, they got what they kickstarted, and now they're getting the retail version for free.
Well, yeah, but the dev version was cheaper.
Anyway, yeah, now they're getting the new one for free. Yeah. Like, so I don't see why it's a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing. It's just I wasn't surprised by it.
Well, they had no obligation to do that, so I think that was a nice thing that they did.
No, they didn't. But I mean, can you imagine if they did, like? People would have, you know, people these days, they definitely would have bitched.
They bitched before when they.
I know. So I'm just saying, like, it's.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, they didn't have to.
They didn't have to, but like.
They fulfilled their Kickstarter, you know, whatever they had to fulfill. They did that. They completed that whole process. They like, I'm Kickstarting this thing. You can help me out. And then I'm going to give you one that's like a developer one. And, they gave them out, and now they're going to actually give out free ones of the retail versions of the people that started. They got this guy, you know, up and running, and then was able to sell it to Facebook for whatever, $1 billion, $2 billion, what was it?
I don't know. Not sure how much.
I don't know.
Anyways.
Wait, is it 11 yet? Because I'm going to be a billionaire.
sorry, you can't be if I'm going to be. So I'll give you a little bit, though. I'll be nice. So,
I might not be podcasting next week, guys. Just saying.
Oh, that money better go into all you can geek.
What else are you gonna be doing? I'd be podcasting, no problem. I may not be in the country at that point in time, but I'll podcast.
We'll host it offsite.
Yeah,
like
all you can geek will just buy IGN, and we'll be the biggest thing around.
Amazon is now offering in one more bit of gaming news real quick. Amazon's now offering the Gamers Club discount, essentially, from Best Buy. 20% off discount on pre-orders and new games. Yeah, and if you're a Prime member, you get this for free. 20% off all video games pre-orders and games within 2 weeks of their release. You get 20% off their price. I have a question. I pre-ordered Uncharted.
They're retroactively going to apply the
pre-order. Okay, because their list price on Uncharted was $39.99 when I pre-ordered it.
Oh, I don't know about that, man. Yeah. That's double dipping. I don't know if they're going to let you.
But yeah, Best Buy lets you double dip when they do $39.99 games. Not at launch, but they do. If you want to launch, yeah, they do. If they have it for $39.99, you're getting
discounted. Oh, if it's on sale, you're still getting discounted.
Yeah. Right. I think I'm getting the 20%. I think I'm getting it. All right. That's all we have for gaming news. Let's go into game of the year stuff. Video game. Actually, movies or games? What do you guys want to start with?
Don't we usually start with movies?
Yeah, we do usually.
I think that's probably going to be better to start off with anyway.
All right,
there's a consensus.
Movie of the year. I guess, well, let's start off with the worst. Let's do the worst.
All right, yeah, start off the best.
What are the categories?
Categories are best movie of the year, the runner-up, the your worst movie of the year, the surprise movie of the year. Now, that could be good or bad. And most anticipated for this year. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, worst movie of the year, I'll kick us off saying mine was It Follows.
Oh, God. I forgot you watched that.
I got dragged to the movie. Oh, what a terrible – that was a terrible date. So, I went and saw It Follows, and it was a terrible movie. It was just like – the entire time I'm like – it's like it's an STD demon. Yeah. An STD demon? I don't know. It was just
really
ridiculous.
Put the demon in STD.
Yeah, it was just so bad.
Sexually transmitted.
I don't understand what the draw was. Like people, like there were horror fans like the show, like the movie. I mean, but I'm like, I don't see why. It didn't really have anything good that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
it was bad. That was mine. Mike.
I don't know.
We'll come back to you, Tony.
Yeah.
Mine was Crimson Peak, which was Guillermo del Toro's movie this year. And that was advertised like a horror movie. Like if you watch any preview or trailer or commercial clip, it makes it out to be a horror movie. And while there are horror elements in it, like, the movie is not really horror at all. Like, it's actually pretty lame and pretty boring.
Oh, that's so disappointing to hear.
It is, like, because, like, visually it's stunning. Like, I love the costumes, I love the environment, I love the set, et cetera, et cetera. It's just, like, the story is really boring. It's basically just some guy trying to get his nut on. You know, Loki's trying to get his nut on. And, yeah, it was really pathetic. I laughed a lot at it, just how outrageous it was. But very, very, very disappointing from somebody that I think Pacific Rim was my movie of the year when that came out. So
I have it open. Let's see here. Let's see. Oh, I have it listed first. Tony's. Nope. It was that last year it came out?
2013 was
it? Oh, maybe it was 13. I have 14s up. Last year's was Guardians of the Galaxy for you.
Yeah. No, it wasn't this year.
Yeah, Pacific Rim came before that.
Okay, I'll have to look. I'll have to go back further than.
We have to go back.
I am writing down what you guys say as your of the year. I don't even think I listed. Right. I didn't even list the of the year podcast the one year. I think we just did. Oh, we did. We definitely did. Wow, that's pretty awesome. Mine was actually, I think, Pacific Rim.
A great movie.
Yeah. So, it was definitely yours. Was Pacific Rim, Corey? Mm-hmm. And I don't. Tony, you were on the podcast, weren't you? Yeah, you were. There you are. Yeah. Pacific Rim. Yep. Yeah. Almost swept us.
What was mine? I don't remember.
Mike was Wolverine?
yeah. Nice. Yeah. The Wolverine was
the Wolverine. Oh,
that's a good movie.
Oh, the Wolverine. Like,
The Wolverine.
Yeah, I always get it confused with Wolverine.
No, not that.
X-Men Origins. Yeah. No, that movie doesn't exist.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. They were on vacation. Corey, what's your worst?
Well, when we're going as far as disappointment being the criteria.
Oh.
Well, the idea is, what did you actually see, I guess?
Yeah. Yeah.
And for me,
oh, should I have to change
it's hard to say that this is my biggest disappointment because I knew what I was getting into. I was genuinely curious, but I didn't expect much. And it was Fantastic Four.
You did see it?
Yeah. It's every bit as bad as, you know what, the trailers like don't do it justice, because the trailer's like, all right, this is gonna be bad, but then you watch it and like, wow, usually the trailers try to get you hyped for the movie, but it didn't even do that. So but I was curious to see how they're gonna try to bring this back. And I liked the actors in it. I was like, oh, this is an interesting choice to cast a, you know, black actor to play, you know, Johnny Storm, and see how that plays out. And it just
an emo Doctor Doom.
It was just awful. Like, Doctor Doom was the worst.
He was emo.
He was so, well, not even that. He was not even emo. He was just a computer nerd that lived in the basement of his like grandmother's house, basically. You know, he was just like really stupid. Portrayal of a character that could be extremely awesome.
Yeah.
So that was a big disappointment. The other one I was fighting with was, because I thought it was a disappointment, was Mad Max Fury Road. But
That was pretty disappointing.
A lot of people.
Sorry.
I don't think I'm a Tom Hardy fan. I don't like him.
Yeah. I don't like the way he talks always. It always is garbled.
Mm. Watch The Revenant.
He's going to be James Bond, probably. Well,
oh, God. Maybe. Mike, what was your worst? Did you pick one?
I don't know. I mean, I saw Inside Out and I wasn't too excited about it, but I mean, it's not really meant for me. So yeah. It feels bad to put that in. For the movie that is kind of more in my wheelhouse that I didn't like as much as apparently everyone else in the world did, would be Jurassic World. And I did like it, but it was kind of dumb.
Did you see any of the following? These are the movies that are for the Razzies. Fantastic Four?
No.
50 Shades of Grey?
No.
Jupiter Ascending?
No.
Paul Blart Mall Cop 2?
No.
And Pixels! I've seen that one!
No, I haven't seen any of those. I really don't see movies I think are going to be awful, so...
That's why we do these bets.
Yeah.
Inside Out or Jurassic World.
You need to do more crazier bets. I do crazy bets. I have fun with it.
Did you see Spectre?
No.
No. Oh. I forgot about Spectre. I didn't even make my list.
I intentionally did not watch that.
All right. Actually, I'm going to change my surprise to that, because that was just a bad surprise, but... All right. Okay, so that's the worst. Let's go with the surprise movie. So, as I just stated, mine will be mine was Jurassic World, as in, like, I was surprised that it was actually better than I expected. The other two, after the first movie, the sequels I thought were terrible. I hated them. I know that some people liked them, Corey. Some of them.
I mean, I like the series.
Yeah. And I do like the world. But Jurassic World was great because it, you know, went back to the first movie, its roots.
Seems like a theme this year.
Yeah, I thought it was very good. But ultimately, it's got to be Spectre for me because I was disappointed with
how bad it was.
It wasn't as bad as It Follows. It wasn't the worst movie of the year, but it just wasn't.
It didn't make my list because I expected it to be.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't one of the better movies this year. So I was disappointed with that. Mike?
Surprisingly.
Yeah, surprisingly disappointed. Mm-hmm. Mike?
Well, my surprise was Ant-Man. It was better than I thought it would be. I know I shouldn't really be surprised, but...
Trending.
Well, yeah, it didn't do that well in the box office. I thought it would do better, to be honest, but it did okay. Although, when you look back and look at, like, how his weight is supposed to be the same when he's small, lots of the movie doesn't make sense at all, according to its own rules, but whatever. It really kind of breaks itself if you remember that rule. But other than that, it was a fun movie. The keychain with the tank, which should have weighed as much as a tank at all times. Yep. But whatever. I hope they kind of, in future, actually stick to that rule a little bit because it kind of is what makes him powerful. But we'll see what happens. But I did like it. I was also real surprised at how well they made young Michael Douglas. That was crazy. Because normally when you do stuff like that, you can see that something's wrong.
You're thinking back to the Patrick Stewart time, but computer graphics have come a long, long way since then.
Yeah, and I think they grabbed a lot from his older movies as well.
Yeah, they had they had much better source material.
So, but I couldn't really tell anything that was weird about that, so that was impressive to me. So, that's my surprise. It did. It was a little better than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm. All right. Tony?
It'd actually be Avengers Age of Ultron. And surprised just because, not that it was like bad, but just kind of, it was there and it came and it went. And I was just kind of like, okay, I guess that's that.
Yeah, that was almost my worst. But I'm like, I liked it, but it didn't do anything.
Right. It was just. It was just meh. You know, it's like, all right, I want to see it. I had fun, but, you know, I didn't go
surprised about how average it was.
Yeah, surprised at how average it was.
That's really what it was. You're right.
That movie, it kind of started me on the whole being kind of tired of the Marvel stuff, to be honest. Mm. But it was okay. It was good, but it's not like the first Avengers.
Mm-hmm. All right. Corey?
Mine's Creed. I think that they did a great job bringing back Rocky. And making a movie around the Apollo Creed son.
Yeah.
And just kind of reimagining that story and kind of pulling it back. And, you know, it's definitely got legs for a franchise.
All right. Now we go to the runner-up for the best of the year. Runner-up for me, I'll kick it off, was Ant-Man.
I'll second that.
Yeah. Yeah. I just really enjoyed that movie. Like, Tim watched it the other day for the first time, and I just kind of, like, easily sat down and enjoyed that movie again. Like, it just – you could just – it's like – it reminded me of what Iron Man, the first Iron Man movie did. So and I think I mentioned that in the podcast before. I mean, Tony, for you, same thing. Like,
absolutely. It's just a really good popcorn flick. Like, not to mention – you know, I think I've said it before even recently. It just – Marvel's very diverse. They're going wide in addition to going, you know, in depth with their characters. And just this movie, I never anticipated. Like, Ant-Man was always like, a B-string at best.
Yeah, I don't even character care there. I didn't care anything about
it. It's more like C-list.
Some B-minus.
Right. Yeah. B-minus. C-plus, maybe. But just watching it, I was like, man, that's really cool. And, you know, just the special effects and, you know, the way they made the world just kind of awesome, the special effects, and, you know, even like nods to, like, you know, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids or Zoolander, just really, you know, it was really awesome.
Hmm. Cool. Mike, your runner-up.
It's funny because I just talked a bunch of shit about it, but Avengers 2 is still, I got what I expected, I guess. I mean, I like seeing all those characters together, this big event. It didn't quite, you know, thrill me as much as older stuff, like I said, but it's above Ant-Man for me just because I care more about those characters and that world that they have built a little bit more than Ant-Man. And again, I am kind of bothered by the inconsistencies with Ant-Man's physics, but whatever. So Avengers 2 gets the runner-up award.
Okay. Corey?
I'm going to go with Furious 7. I really love those movies. And this one was just as, if not more, over the top than the last.
I mean, it was definitely more over the top. I mean, I didn't hate it.
Well, I mean, there's been a lot of over-the-top sequences, but in these movies, but this one just keep upping the game, and I liked all the actors they got in this time, you know, Kurt Russell and Jason Statham. I think that it did a really good job of putting all these, you know, bigger action star type names into a movie, and it knows what it is, so it just plays off of that, and it was nice to see, you know, Paul Walker on there as well, and it being his like last movie, basically. Maybe there was something else that he was doing. I don't know, but that's, you know, it was a good send off, I guess. But
okay,
I thought it was a good film, so I definitely enjoyed watching it and would watch it again.
All right, cool. And now the best, which we may have a couple of repeats,
or all repeats.
Mine was Star Wars. Okay, who didn't have Star Wars? You don't have to. Don't have to follow suit.
No, I think that's everyone.
No, I had Star Wars.
I didn't like it as much as you guys, but it's still clearly the most fun I had watching a movie this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just like that's it. It's a lot of fun, and there's like that nostalgia factor. It's Star Wars on screen. It's just
Star Wars again. You know, it erases the bad, you know, taste from the prequels, mm-hmm. and all in one swoop. And it took a lot of notes from obviously A New Hope, but it was fine doing that because we needed that. It's the movie we needed.
Yeah. I do wish it answered more of the questions it raised, but I guess that's what the sequels are for.
Yes.
They're coming. So yeah.
Sequels and side stories, which did not make my most anticipated. There is, Rogue One coming out this year.
The timing of it, I really don't care about what happened at that time period now.
Oh, dude, I can't wait to watch Rebels. I can't wait to watch Rebels, even though I hear the first season's kind of kiddie-ish. But they got, like, Princess Leia now in the show. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, psyched to watch that, but...
Yeah, this movie definitely revitalized my faith in the franchise and interest in general. I mean, I've always liked Star Wars, you know, at least the original trilogy and stuff, and been a fan of, the extended universe through games and cartoons and whatnot, but it just kind of like died down for a bit, and then this one was just like, made me feel like a kid again, and I'm just like, here I'm buying Lego and whatnot, I'm like looking forward to like new stuff, I'm like, oh god, it's bad, I got the itch again.
Yeah,
the itch.
And it's part of the reason why I'm playing Battlefront all month of the time now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Alright, so that was...
I just want to quick shout out to Jessica Jones for being the best small screen content I've seen this year.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah, I think so. It kind of blows away. I mean, I had the most issues with it of you guys, but it's better than everything else on regular TV. And I did say that a little while ago, but it is.
Yeah, Jessica Jones was amazing. I think Daredevil was my favorite series of the...
Was that this year?
No, it was not.
Oh. Yeah.
Was it this...
I don't remember.
if it was this year, I would say Daredevil was better, but...
Daredevil was this year. It was in April.
It was?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, then I prefer Daredevil a little bit over Jessica Jones myself.
They're both in my... They're splitting hairs, really, for me, but I thought Daredevil was better just because just...
Character. The action sequences.
The action is another level, really.
So, all right. Anticipated. Give me a second, sorry.
I'll go first then, Jim. My most anticipated is Suicide Squad.
What?
Wow. What?
Do you just want to see a train wreck happen? Or?
I am very curious about it.
Okay. Corey's last year most anticipated movie. I got to see what it was now. Corey, it was Star Wars. Oh, okay.
I mean, come on.
Tony, yours was Avengers 2.
I know. And look at that.
Yeah.
Joss Whedon fucked it up.
We didn't get a sweep last year. Mike, you screw up the sweep. Spider-Man 2, Amazing Spider-Man 2, was almost the worst movie of the year by the entire podcast crew. But Turtles
was worse than that.
Yeah. Sorry, we talked all day about last year's. Anyways, so Suicide Squad, really?
Yeah, it's obviously between that and Cap, but I'm just more curious as to what Suicide Squad is going to bring to the table. Cap, I have a feeling, I mean, we kind of know what that's going to be. And so I'm just more interested as far as what Suicide Squad is going to actually become. And it could just be a train wreck that's going to be awful like Fantastic Four. But as far as anticipated, yeah, I just can't wait to see what they do with that.
All right. Tony?
Captain America, Civil War, by far. Yeah.
I'm going to second your statement just right now.
Yeah, like I will probably do like opening day, take the day off of work or the next day, so I don't have to.
Well, this is going to have my favorite hero coming into the Marvel Universe. I can't wait. We've mentioned this before. And then, you know.
It's going to be new territory, too, in terms of like. Because, you know, allegedly nobody really knows what's going to go on, and they're trying to make it different than the comics. They're just using some of the basic plot line for it, which, you know, again, I thought it was a good underlying plot, but then the comics just had to comic it up and made it really stupid.
Hmm. No, I feel like they're going to – I mean, just the – I know you're – Corey, you weren't like, I guess, Suicide Squad because you think it could be a train wreck, but think about what's going into this movie. Like, this is like another Avengers movie. So
I know. Well, no, I understand. I'm very excited for it. Avengers 2.5. I know, and I'm expecting something from it. And that's why, like, I can't wait for it. But as far as, like, the curiosity is just overcoming all of my excitement.
Yeah, I gotcha. I gotcha. Now, the one thing I do want to say, maybe it's a spoiler, possible spoiler for Civil War. But a while ago, when we first talked about this and, like, the sides and stuff like that, I talked about this one scene that I hope they do involving some combination of the characters that are going to be in this movie. And there was promotional material leaked, apparently, of Civil War, showing these characters doing what I think I wanted them to do. I'm just alluding to this. But if they include this scene in that movie, which I'm pretty sure they are, like, hands down, like, there's nothing else next year that's going to be better than that movie.
I mean, they've already, like, I think Captain America, Winter Soldier is my favorite Marvel movie in the entire universe. So,
right.
I mean, they've proven that they can do this, and the themes that they've been dealing with, and now, you know, bringing Civil War into it is very, very exciting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mike?
What?
Yeah.
Mike, you're most anticipated. Sorry.
Yeah. See, well, when I say anticipated, I think what's most, like, interesting to me, or I'm what most curious about, kind of like what Corey said. So I'm looking at Batman Superman.
That was going to be my second choice, just because I
have no idea what this is going to be. It could be completely awful.
Want a train wreck. I want the train wreck.
Or it could be great. It could be, I guess.
You're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance. It's something totally new, different. They're trying to launch their own thing. So, and like for me, I'm just kind of tired of Marvel at the moment. So Civil War, which is really going to be a very small Civil War. It's going to be contained in one movie. You're going to have maybe two scenes of Spider-Man. I'm really not as high on it as you guys are. I don't really see it as anything other than just kind of like something to tide you over until the infinite, to be honest. And again, like, Avengers 2 was sort of like, okay, that was good, but nothing real, really new. So we'll see what happens, but I'm more interested to see where Batman Superman goes. And on the TV side, what I'm more interested in than any of the movies is really Daredevil to season 2.
Yeah.
But we can talk about that separately if you guys want your TV side.
Well, I mean, we don't really talk usually about TVs in the of the years. It gets a snub usually. So I can't wait for Daredevil, though, after that teaser we saw.
Yeah.
It was awesome. So, all right. Gaming-wise, the worst of the year, gaming-wise. I'll kick us off again with The Order, 1886, which I thought for $17 it would have been worth it. And
I told you not to buy it.
I know Corey didn't really hate it, but they gave us a partial game. First of all, the game got – in the year of delays, the game was also delayed to get to where it was, and it still wasn't finished because we only got a third of a story, I feel like. Not even half a story. I feel like we got a third of a story. Like, it's one we just watched one chapter. I said watched, and I say watched. Telltale does a far better job of their interactive stories because you know what you're getting with those, and they only charge you $20 at start, at launch, not $60. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously I got this game for $17, so I can't, you know, but I can still make the statement of that game was $60 and some people paid that.
Right.
So that was ultimately my worst game of the year. I think I ranted about it on the podcast before, and it deserved it. It's just not good. Because my anticipated is kind of a similar style game. But Mike, what's your worst?
Well, my worst is also only the worst because it's not quite a game. It was an emotional kind of experience and it was interesting, but not enough of a game for me. That's Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. A weird little indie title that I like point and click games in the past, so I figured I would do that, but you don't really interact with anything. You just sort of initiate like memories around the world.
The first red flag is the name. What do you do in a world where everyone's gone to the rapture?
Yeah.
I thought maybe you'd be able to. You don't really pick anything up. There's no puzzles. You just kind of follow the story by making it happen by walking into the right place. And I mean, it was fine, but not enough of a game for me. So I played it once and that was it.
All right. Tony?
Mine was Batman Arkham Knight. Okay.
Wow.
It's not like a terrible, terrible game, but it's clearly the worst game I played this year, which, you know, it says a lot. I mean, I didn't play too many new games, but that one I couldn't wait to finish and just sell it. I mean, I flipped that in, I think, a week and a half or something like that. I had no interest in keeping that at all. Hmm. I lost very minimal money on it, if anything. You know, but it was too bloated. Like, if it was just Batman, you know, again, we've covered this in podcasts, but just the forced stuff with the Bat Tank and the Batmobile, I really hated. And I know you guys liked it, but I really did not like the fact that the Joker was so heavily into the game when it was called the Arkham Knight. And I know it wasn't really the Joker, but no, it was about the Joker.
Nope.
Yeah. Okay, Corey?
My game, I guess, is Evolve.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know you played that.
I didn't know you did play that. Wow.
I did the beta, bit the alpha, then it just died. I mean, that game just basically fell off the planet. Like, nobody plays it. So how can you buy a game that doesn't have a single player, so then it's only multiplayer that nobody plays? You can't. There's no game there anymore. So it's just dead. I was super excited for it too because I thought it was a really interesting concept.
Yeah, I remember at PAX.
It's Left 4 Dead. I mean, it's like supposed to be like a spiritual successor to Left 4 Dead. Like,
yeah, it's one of those games where I think the marketing, the forced marketing, and how they were going to do the DLC, it just killed the game because
absolutely,
like, it just stopped all the hype train. Like, everybody turned against it.
Yep. No, I mean that was very much a disappointment as far as if I mean the studio's feeling it too. I mean.
Yeah,
it gotta be.
Yeah.
So.
That wasn't that good. I was interested in, you know, even at the show though, it didn't really grab me. But all right.
I did the casting, the shout casting for it was fantastic, but
yeah.
Like, that's all I had going for it, and then like just people moved on really quickly. All
right. No, sorry. Moving on quickly. surprise of the year, I think, is going to be for me. It's Fallout 4. only because I was
surprised.
I was expecting more.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
We got to change.
I think our we shouldn't take surprise so literally. I think because we're doing like opposite things in our category with it a lot.
Well, I write down disappointment as like a so I can remember for next year if we ever talk about it. But I just was meh.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, you're surprised by what you got. It's like, understandable.
I'll agree. It wasn't my surprise. It was I had a different category, just most disappointing. But Fallout 4 was my disappointing game of the year.
Not worst, but most disappointing. Yeah. I was like I said, I loved 3 so much, and I got 3 again, but I just was looking for something more.
Yeah, it was like, you know, one step forward but two steps back. Like,
yeah.
Sure, I mean, the gunplay was improved and stuff, but
yeah.
The thing that was most exciting and about this is that they announced it,
yeah.
And then they released it. It's like. Wow,
props
this is how this should be done.
Yeah, no, props to Bethesda for, you know, keeping that under wraps and announcing it.
I lost the bet to it, but
yeah.
I feel like their inventory management was shit. Like, I just felt like that was such a determinant of the game, too.
It was so terrible. Like, I hate the settler system. Like, I don't understand why it was forced in the game. I don't understand it. Mm. It has absolutely minimal effect on the gameplay. It's not like you can visit other people's, like, settlements or anything like that. So, like, why is it such a big feature of the game? Like, I can't imagine how much time that probably took to implement in this game that could have gone to anything else. Like, you know, writing better characters or writing more factions and, you know, other quests and different solutions to quests rather than, hey, I want you to kill this guy. No. Okay, well, I'm just going to sit here until you talk to me and say yes. So, okay, fine. Fuck you.
All right, let's see. Oh, where were we? Mike, surprise.
My surprise is a positive thing because that's what I think of when we say surprise.
When you say surprise, yes. But when you just are talking about the category for surprise of 2015, it could mean, you know, I was surprised by how disappointed I was.
Yeah. Well, my surprise, and it's positive, is Rocket League. It kind of came out of nowhere for me. I got it just because, you know, it was on PS Plus for free and... Yeah, I'm still playing it, and obviously I've been playing it a lot this whole year. So yeah, it came out of nowhere, and it's a really good game. Just a crazy off-the-wall sports sort of game, and it just works. So yeah, that's my surprise of the year. I was happily surprised by Rocket League.
Okay. Tony?
Okay, so if we're talking pleasant surprise, mine would actually be Splatoon.
Your biggest surprise, like
it could. Well, Fallout 4 was disappointing. I already talked about Fallout 4, so I'll talk pleasant surprise was Splatoon on the Wii U, just because when they unveiled the game, was like, not to be punny or anything like that, but it was like a fresh new take on, you know, the shooting genre, and I was like, okay, that's cool. And then when it finally came out, like I played it so much, like those first 2 or 3 weeks. You know, which unfortunately I just took away from for whatever reason, but that was just really so much fun, and I would probably still be playing it if I had more friends that had Wii U's and had that game. Like, honestly, if you guys had this, I think we'd be playing it on a weekly basis. Like, it's just a lot of fun, it's just goofy, and there's new content still coming out for this game, even over half a year later, and it's all free. And, you know, it's just really fun, and I think if actually the Wii U had launched with this title, maybe the system's fortunes would have been turned around. So maybe Splatoon? NX launch? Maybe? I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Corey, surprise.
I'm going to say Helldivers was a really good
game.
Surprise.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed it.
We need to come over so we can play some more of that couch co-op.
Yeah, it's definitely like it's a couch co-op game. It's an isometric type of looking down on your character. And it's got friendly fire on, which is a really neat aspect to it because you can really fuck over your friend.
It sort of shapes the gameplay, the friendly fire.
No, absolutely. It's you have to really be careful. And there's like a duck button also. So like, just like hit the ground. And so like I'm shooting your way. It's a lot of fun, and it's a mechanic that they play into the whole like systems and everything. So I thought that was a really pleasant and nice, refreshing surprise. So,
cool.
Unfortunately, we couldn't play it together when we were here that one time because you needed to be on PS Plus, apparently.
Yeah.
But That's it's a good game.
Always definitely. Online feature.
Mm-hmm. Awful right. Shit.
Runner-up for Game of the Year. mine is Metal Gear Solid 5.
Wow. That's surprising.
Yeah. it was going to be my Game of the Year. I hate giving that Game of the Year. I can't. I hate talking positively about the game. And it's not even
the thing about it is, and this is probably why you did it. It was we were crazy about that game. We all loved it. That's and then what, Chapter 2 hit.
That's ultimately what made me. I mean, I probably put in like 50 to 60 hours into that game.
Yeah.
Just in the first part, I loved it, and we were raving about it. But ultimately, the Chapter 2 and the fallout of Kojima and Konami has just lowered that game a notch. So I'm not going to give it my Game of the Year. I won't do it. So it's Metal Gear Solid 5 for me. Batman, while I didn't hate it like Tony did, it could have been my runner-up, but I felt that the Batmobile deterred from that game so much that it just does not deserve any honor.
So. Doesn't even deserve to be mentioned.
I didn't mention it at all. So, and that's
it's funny because that's where I'm with Metal Gear Solid 5. Like, again, it's not on any of my list, but I love the first chapter, you know, quote unquote chapter of that game.
It's really most of the game.
And yeah, that's what I mean. It's so much of
it's
that game.
It's just
it is
subtraction by addition. It's pretty like they could have left that out and might have been the year.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Like if they had just ended with that chapter where, you know, spoiler alert, you fight the Metal Gear, I would have been like there you go. And then it's like, wait, there's more? And I was like,
what? You know, even if all they did was the actual mission. There's like three actual missions that.
Yeah,
are like
the,
after that.
The three epilogue missions. And,
if they did just that and not the repeat missions, then it would have been fine. Although the story still gets a little unresolved and confusing at the end anyway, but still.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mike, what was your runner up?
Well, the thing is,
Pick one. Pick one.
No.
Pick one.
Fine. Arkham Knight would be my runner-up.
Good. And you can say honorable mention. You can talk about
the honorable mention is Metal Gear Solid 5 for the same reasons. It just, for me, it was there, but the story also is a little too up its own ass compared to other experiences I've had. So, but I really did like it. And it's also, it could have been my surprise because I've never played a Metal Gear game before, and I really enjoyed that game.
That's good. That's cool. Yeah.
But the ending did leave a bad taste in my mouth, and I do wish that there was a little more variation in the levels, kind of. You're always playing like in the same one of like five places pretty much in that game, so that got a little old after a while. So,
That's another thing for Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider did the same thing for me.
Yeah, but my runner-up is Arkham Knight. I did not like the Bat Tank. Didn't mind the Batmobile, although I didn't like the Riddler tracks, but there's only three of those. But the big reason why I love the story, really, even though the Arkham Knight thing was kind of obvious. I love the story. I love the actual Batman gameplay. It's still probably my favorite combination of gameplay in video games. But the real reason why it's knocked down a bit is that you can't really include the DLC, I think, with it. If the DLC was included, like originally with this, it might have been my Game of the Year. But because the challenges are really hard and they're some of the best in the series, but the problem was the Batmobile took up 90% of the challenges in the vanilla game, and that's just awful. So that's really what knocked it down for me, because that's the replayability for me, the challenges. And I know not everyone is into that, but for me, that's why I love these games. And so that makes a big difference, the DLC or not. So it lost out because of that. But it's still my runner-up. So that's it for me.
Tony?
Mine was Super Mario Maker. Like I mentioned earlier, it came out. It was really awesome. I liked it. But, kind of just got into the AAA, whatever, and just got lost in that. And then recently picked it up, started playing a lot of the levels. It was patched a couple times to include even more features, and just it's kind of crazy to think about, like, how many levels of Mario you can play, which is, almost infinite in terms of, like, whatever your mind or anybody else's imagination can come up with. And some of these levels are absolutely insane. Like, I just played this one before we started the podcast tonight. where really you don't do much. It's just you kind of hold the run button and hold the right button, like we joked about, I think, a couple of years ago about, I think, a Mario Sonic discussion.
Yeah.
But it's this one level that just literally, it's like a tour. It's like a, you know, like a roller coaster ride. Like, you just hold right, and just what this guy was able to do, because, like, there's all these perfect jumps and, like, automatic jumps and enemy placement so you can bounce off of them. And I'm just, Jesus Christ, like, how much time did this guy spend building this level? And it's just absolutely insane. So, again, I think this game is one of those games that's just really cool. Over the weekend, they had this event called Awesome Games Done Quick, a whatever that initials abbreviates to. And they had this portion from Mario Maker levels, and it was just two teams trying to complete this circuit of Mario Maker courses. And it was just mind-blowing. It was awesome. It was, like, really fun just to spectate. And I think if Nintendo refines this idea, I think, you know, that should be something that they take forward, you know, from the Wii U, you know. Talking about,
all I can think about is the wizard.
Yeah. You can probably, you know, recreate some of that magic.
All right. Corey, your runner up.
My runner up for Game of the Year is Tales from the Borderlands.
Ooh, all right.
I mean, we talked about it earlier. It's Borderlands. I mean, it's yeah, it's Borderlands, it's amazing.
All right.
I did have a problem with the how it goes from episode 4 to episode 5. I have a problem with that. And that's why it didn't win Game of the Year for me.
Okay. Best of the year is, for me, Tales from the Borderlands. Listen, Borderlands 2 won Game of the Year for me when it brought me back into gaming. While this was... from Telltale, it was still Borderlands. It was well done. The music was fantastic. Every episode's introduction was great.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. The music's really good.
It had a meaningful character death from the Borderlands universe, and I'm just like, in a Telltale game, it's so weird to see that.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know. But, which, by the way, nobody has any idea. I'm not giving any spoilers. What ad did you pick? Did you pick what I think you picked? You know what I picked.
Wait, which what?
Wait, you had to pick an ad when that happened. You had to pick an ad to, like, fly above the planet.
Oh yeah. Come on. Bebop.
Yep, see a space cowboy? Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so but I just loved Handsome Jack is, I think, my favorite video game character. He's been building so much over these past few years, playing Borderlands 2. And now, you know, in Handsome Jack Collection, which I haven't finished, but pre-sequel, yeah. And now this, I mean, you get so much from his character. He's just such a great character.
Best villains are the ones that think they're the hero in their story.
They are. They absolutely are. And so, like, for this game, I mean, I loved it. It's 5 episodes long. It's not super long. It may be 6 or 7 hours, but it was great.
Each episode's at most 2 hours. Yeah. So
I loved it. It's my game of the year, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Mike.
Well, the thing is, like, the games, there's the top 4 games of the year are all like 8.5s and or maybe a 9 on a good day for me. They were all really good games that had like one crippling flaw. And the one I think that I put the most time into and I'll still continue to play, it's Fallout 4, so that gets the nod. And I know I understand the issues with it, but to me, I don't really care too much about RPG aspects a whole lot. I'm fine with it being a little more action-oriented. And I also got into the modding of weapons and armor a bit, which is the opposite of what I just said. But still, that is a new feature that they did add, and it does makes the settlements a little more meaningful, because you can, once you get a perk, you can put your junk in any one of those things and you can build up, you know, your armor and stuff using that from a bunch of locations. So, and there are a few different options in the story. I know that you do get funneled and forced into war, which is kind of on tone with the game's message anyway, but still. So I am anticipating any DLC for it, because I do want more for this, even though there's still a lot more of that world to explore. which is another reason why it's my game of the year. It doesn't really end even when it ends, so that's why it just barely beat out everything else.
Okay. Tony?
Mine is going to be Dying Light. I know I hinted at it for the past couple of weeks, but and I don't know how positive I was about it. I know I was having fun when I played it, and I mentioned on the podcast, but the ending was kind of like, meh. I think I mentioned how I saved up like all these really powerful weapons that I found and crafted, and the last part of the main game, the story game, spoiler alert, not really a spoiler, but like gameplay spoiler, it's just like a Q2E thing, and I was like, really? Like, fuck that. Like, I saved all this good stuff, and I don't even get to use it. Okay, whatever. But the more I think about it, it's just like that game had everything I was looking for from a quote-unquote like new generation game. Like, it was a new IP, new characters, new gameplay. Like, it was, you know, open world sandbox environment plus the parkour running and climbing and jumping stuff. It was a really awesome just game from start to finish. Really, I don't know, intriguing mechanics just with the day and the night system and unlocking different zones and stuff like that and fast travel and whatnot. And just like the DLC that's been coming out already, plus the imminent DLC that's being created that they can actually jack up the price because it was more than they anticipated. I'm really looking forward to that. And I think you guys should all play it when that comes out. I think you guys will enjoy it.
Okay. Corey.
Well, I'm going to make a case for it.
Here we go.
It's Destiny the Taken King. Destiny the Taken King is my game of the year. Not only is it an expansion, but it reinvented, or not reinvented, but revitalized a game that came out last year, which was Destiny.
Which for the record,
vanilla Destiny.
Listen. For the record, Destiny was my game of the year last year.
It was mine too.
So by the
rule, I thought last year was awful, to be honest.
But by rule, I will not make this game my game of the year because it's expanding on a game that I already made my game of the year.
I understand, and the thing my argument is I played the most obviously this year of this game more than any other game, even though Destiny thing only came out in September. And it completely like changed the way I looked at Destiny. Like I didn't make Destiny my game of the year last year. I don't think. I don't even remember what my game of the year was last year, but it probably had something to do with Borderlands. So I don't know. Just the way that they made this actually have content that's worth playing, and that there's story progression, and that there's actual characters now that have backstory and that have meaningful conversations with, changed the way that you socialize with the game. And then the whole new content that came with it. You got Destiny the Taken King part, but then you got everything that came before it if you hadn't played that before. So it goes back to those points. So you're going to Destiny the Taken King content goes back to those other points and looks at them in a different way too, which could seem lazy, I guess, but it really works.
I
well.
Love the game. I mean, I played it with you guys. How many hours have I played that game? And I'm still going to come back to it now that I'm catching up with other stuff. It's just, it doesn't count for in my opinion, it doesn't count as a 2015 release.
Yeah, I understand, but this did not exist in 2014, The Taken King.
Yeah, and I mean, I was interested in getting it, but because it requires the other game, it kind of rubs me the wrong way that I need to buy $40 more worth of game to get the
game
it should have been.
The thing is now, this is the time to jump into it, because now you can get everything. You can get Destiny, the two expansions that came out with the original Destiny, and then the Taken King. You can get all that for like $40 now.
You have it on both systems, don't you, Corey? You have it on?
I do.
Jesus. All right. So that's your game of the year.
I had to do it. And like I said, it did not exist in 2014.
I mean, I understand where you're coming from, Corey, and whatever. I'm not going to rake you over the coals for picking what you think is the game of the year. Because I think even the one year you picked Diablo 3 Ultimate Edition, right? Wasn't that your game of the year last year?
That's right.
Which is kind of the same thing, which, I hated Diablo 3, and I didn't even pick up the expansion. And then I hated Destiny, so I didn't even pick up the expansion. So
we may
like,
have literally had the same conversation last year.
I'm pretty sure we did.
I did not pick Diablo 3, even though I probably spent more time on
it. And you know what's
funny?
Is I think episode 1 of Tales from the Borderlands came out in 2014, so I made that my runner-up.
Yeah, it did. Episode 1 did come out, but...
Oh, my.
Jesus. Yeah, it came out right at the end of the year. It was your runner-up. Hearthstone and that. Wow.
See, it's strange for me, because I think about the time you spend on a game a lot, or like the depth to the game. So for some things, like sort of get disqualified in my mind. Like Battlefront gets disqualified because there's no single player, or Mortal Kombat, which I liked, got disqualified because it's just a fighting game that isn't really transcendent in any way. So, but you could take anything you like, and that's fine. It's just our criteria is different.
Yeah. All right. Most anticipated game for next year, guys. For me, I guess we can just transfer, right?
Well, that's the funny thing. It's like I was looking at my list from last year, and I was like, oh man, they're all the same this year.
I already filled in the division for you on this list. Am I correct in that?
Well, I mean, it's that and Uncharted 4 and Persona 5. Those are my three.
But you didn't pick Uncharted 4 last year, and they were both supposed to come out in the same year. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I think it's got to be the Division because of how similar it is to Destiny. I mean, it's an online shooter that's going to be very massive multiplayer esque, and I really can't wait for Uncharted. But
I think
I'll put way more time into Division.
I filled in Gears of War 4 here,
but I understand where. But I have to just preface this because the thing that I actually am most anticipated at this moment is whatever Destiny 2 is going to be.
Yeah,
coming out in September, so
I'm looking forward to that. But
I know those were my most anticipated last year, but since
everything's changed, 2.
I mean everything's changed now. So I have to say, Destiny 2 or whatever the next major Destiny release is coming this year, because it has to be something. Because they've gone
think you're gonna get a Destiny 2 this year.
It's going to be a new release that's not going to be on 360 and PS3.
Okay. That'd be fine. I mean, I'd be cool with that. Obviously, I love that game. So I'm going to stick with Uncharted 4. I did put Gears of War 4 in here, but I'm like, you know what? I'm going to copy-paste from last year because it didn't come out. So
and it got delayed again. So, I mean...
It should come out this year.
it's just going to keep going and going.
I will tell you this. If I have to list this as my anticipated for 2017...
It's done. It's
done.
It's over, Jim.
It's cut off. My gaming life may be done at that point. So that's my most anticipated. Mike?
It's also my most anticipated, but I don't really see too much this year. The only honorable mention, I suppose, would be Deus Ex, whenever that comes out.
I'm looking forward to Quantum Break, obviously, but I hope it's not bad.
But looking forward to Uncharted 4. I also like the multiplayer, I think, more than you guys do in that series. So mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a part of it, too. It'll add a little bit of replay value because the story is the same thing over and over. Naughty Dog games, but whatever.
All right, Tony?
Zelda U, which I think is what I said last year.
Maybe.
Probably.
I think
yours
was Xenoblade. I think you were talking about Zelda U, but you went with Xenoblade.
Yeah.
Maybe because we had a feeling it was getting delayed.
Yeah. So. Yeah, subconsciously. I knew.
Yeah, it could have been. So.
There's a pretty good amount of games that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, like, Destiny 2 would be awesome if it came out. And Gears of War, I really hope, is good. Like, it's my anticipated because I hope it's one of those same with the Quantum Break. I hope it's good.
The thing with that is, like, 3 was a great way to end that series.
Yeah.
Where Uncharted 3 was not a great way to end that series.
Oh, I know.
So I'm like, I want more Uncharted because I want to see a good conclusion.
Yeah.
And whereas Gears, I'm like, this Overwatch is coming this year too, which I'm interested in that. So.
Anyways.
Horizon's supposed to come out.
We also got a quick question on Twitter from our friend of the podcast, Aaron. Wrote us. He wants to know what our best multiplayer game of this year was. I mean, 2015 was.
Multiplayer game?
Multiplayer game.
I mean, the most fun have in a video game.
It's got to be Destiny for you.
It's got to be Destiny for you.
Yeah, it's Destiny. I mean, I had the most fun playing with people in that game, and that's where
I know I did too. I can't pick it because I'm going to pick it there. I'm not picking it for Game of the Year because it doesn't qualify, but I'll pick it for Multiplayer Game of the Year.
Oh, Jesus.
It was so good, and I didn't play multiplayer in like anything else but that game. Like, I love that. Like, I really enjoyed raiding with everybody in that game. So, I'm picking Tales, and I can't believe that. Taken King, but I have to. Mike, what would be your multiplayer game?
Oh, this is tough because I'm right in the middle of one game that like
I'm really enjoying.
Yeah, but I spent so much time playing Rocket League as well, and I also spent a bit of time playing Mortal Kombat online. So it's hard to say, but now you know what? I'm going to go with Rocket League just because it's lasted the whole year.
Yeah,
and I wanted
to find a spot for Rocket League.
Don't think Battlefront will last until like, you know, April of next year, because that's about how long it would need to last to be as much of a mainstay as Rocket League has been for me. So, yeah, I think I'll go with Rocket League for best multiplayer game.
Okay. Tony.
Ooh.
Splatoon?
It'd be Splatoon with a tie of Rocket League. Those are the two games I enjoyed multiplayer the most this year.
Yeah. There's a very brief Rocket League, though, then.
But. Yeah, but it's still fun. It's not that I didn't play it because
I enjoyed it too. It's just
Helldivers is a really fun multiplayer game. I talk about games we played briefly. Like that was fun too.
Really fun
playing multiplayer. Because like I said, the friendly fire aspect is hilarious at times.
Yeah. It's like whoa. Too late.
Then you can spawn in on people too.
Yep. Oh man. So that's our best and worst of 2015, listeners.
And it's funny for me because if I play The Witcher 3 and it's better, and it could very well be better than everything else, I feel like I might want to retroactively.
I really want to go back and finish that game.
I do too.
It's like one of those things that it might have passed its
Well, point. Maybe not. Remember Fallout 3 I went and did later as I got the Game of the Year edition? It might be possible. Like, I traded it in Witcher 3 for $40.
I still
have mine.
That's
why. I might go back and buy it for $39.99 discounted at Best Buy when
you could probably get it for. Like,
my problem is it's a big game too, and I just want to wait till I'm really done with Fallout to like get into that, which I'm not yet.
Did you play NBA this year, Mike?
Yeah, but you know, whatever, it's fine.
I don't know. I'm saying like I haven't heard you talk about it at all, really. Because
I know enough to not talk about that with you guys.
All right. Well, that's gonna wrap up 276th our of the year edition. Listeners, write us if you have any comments or questions about the podcast. podcast@allyoucangeek.net is the email address. You can follow us on Twitter @allyoucangeek. Let us know
what yours of the years were.
And Aaron, if you're listening to this, you let us know what yours was, either on Twitter or via email. I'm gonna go on a limb. You liked Halo 5, but I haven't played the multiplayer, so I can't comment on that. So. But maybe I'm wrong. So, anyways, tune in next week. We're going to kick off next episode with, we're going to talk about what our favorite episodes were from last year, or titles at least. We go through a lot of process. You listeners don't get to hear that. I've come up with our podcast titles. So some of them, we just love having fun with like some of them. So it's
probably the most thought we put into anything we do.
Yeah. So there will be like a 30-minute discussion following this ending of this recording about the title. Actually, this time won't be simple, but usually there is. So, anyways, tune in next week, and I hope you enjoyed this.